This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bridges Church on Fun Day. Good to see you guys. It's been a fun day all day. I hope you got a chance to come and have some food. Did you guys come and have food earlier? If not, there's a ton of it. You need to take it with you. It's like really good stuff, and I think there's a lot all over. So glad that you guys are here. I'm going to get this out of the way real quick. So I have people asking. I broke my wrist on Friday. Fell off a bicycle is the short answer, okay? That's what I'm telling people. The other part of the answer I can tell you, I was out riding Friday after the storm. I thought this is a great day to mountain bike, and I'll go through the puddles and get all muddy, and it'll be fun. And we hit this really steep part, and I hit the brakes too hard, started skidding, and I don't know what happened after that. I was on the ground, and I was just laying there going, am I alive? Am I okay? Anyway, it's all good. I went to the urgent care people, and they took care of me, and they x-rayed it and stuff. The worst part was they cut my wedding ring off. I have not had it off in 33 years, and my hand swelled up, and they couldn't do the x-ray, so it took them longer to cut the ring off than it actually anything else. And so I'm telling people what really happened is that Stacy twisted my arm and hurt me, and then I took the ring off in retaliation. So that's my answer. We'll have to do something else for the wedding ring here later on. But anyway, that's the story. I'm sticking to it. So just a couple of weeks like this, and I'll be fine. But glad you guys are here for this fun day. It's been a good day. We really have enjoyed getting to know people and connecting and all that good stuff. And we're glad that you're here. Today, we're going to jump out of our series a little bit. If you have your Bibles, instead of John, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. So if you want to go and get that, verse 42, and be there. And I'm going to get us started just in a new way of looking kind of at the church and what this year is about. It's a great day for casting vision, reminding us who we are and what we're about as a church. So Acts chapter 2, 42, and the following. But just kind of get you caught up. And we're using the table for something besides my wrist. In case you just wanted to know, I mean, we don't normally do this, but the table is for something else. But the whole idea last year was, as we were coming out of COVID, and you probably felt this too, even a year ago, spring of 22, you just felt disconnected. I mean, everybody felt disconnected and just in person. Gatherings weren't the same. You know, people were moving different places. And I heard this around from so many people that we miss community, miss things. And we began to pray as a church and just say, God, we're looking for kind of fresh wind, fresh fire, renewal, new life. And we just began praying that a lot. And then in the fall, our elders and staff got together and we were praying. We had a retreat. We fasted. And we just said, what's next, God? Where are we going? What do you want us to do? And that's where really this new vision came up that we're calling Devoted 23. And just taking this year, 2023, and just slowing down and focusing on being a deeper devotion to Christ, His church, and His mission. Just going, what's the core? What do we need to be about? And let's just take a year and really focus on that. First of all, focusing on Jesus and focusing on His church, meaning the body, and then focusing on the mission of Jesus. And it really comes out of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And this is a verse, a passage about the first church. And this really has guided so much of what we're about. So let's look at that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says this about that first church. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So that first church is going, how do we live now that Jesus has ascended to heaven? How do we get by now that he is not here with us, telling us what to do, where to go? He wasn't teaching us every day. How do we form this new community? And they did this. They focused on the apostles' teaching. Every day, they would get together, and they would allow the apostles who had spent time with Jesus just to teach them. And what they taught was just Jesus. I mean, that's what you want to be focused on, right? And they would just repeat what he had said, and they told stories about him. And the understanding is they began to write them down in little pieces. And so when Matthew and Luke and Mark were putting together the Gospels, they took those little pieces and they put them together in a book. But that is just focused on Jesus. Let's teach Jesus. And so this year, we're teaching through the book of John. We're going through verse by verse, expository through John. We're taking a day off, but we'll get back to it next week and just going, what did Jesus teach? What did he do? How did he live? What do we take into our time today? So they focused on Jesus. In the last part of the verse, they said they focused on prayer. They were devoted to prayer. And so we said, we're going to do the same thing. And in the beginning of the year, we got our leaders together. We prayed and fasted for you guys for 40 days. Each of our leaders took a day. We just prayed and fasted. We said, God, we want to see new life. We want to see us connected a new way. And we've seen the results of this in powerful ways in people's lives. And we have so many stories about answers to prayer. And we started the prayer after the service. People are coming up and seeking God. And it's been really, really powerful. And so in the fall, we're actually going to do for the whole church a prayer summit. And then we're going to take 40 days in prayer and fasting as a church leading up to Thanksgiving so that we each can be part of that. And so that's one of our focus as well this year. And the middle part of this verse says they devoted themselves to fellowship and the breaking of bread. This is how they did life together. They were focused on fellowship, which is the word koinonia, which is this community. We're going to be a community. We're going to be together. It's not going to be separate. And we go, okay, what does that look like? What does that look like? To really have community in 2023 here in Winston-Salem and the surrounding areas, what would that really look like? And so Fun Day is part of it. We're going to do 5 of these throughout the year. We've already done 1 in January. We had a meal together. We had today, and I'm so glad many of you got a chance to do that. Between services, we intermingled. We had food, and we're going to do more as the year goes along. And just say, what can we do to build community? And they go, what else does this involve? So if you have your Bible still, let's continue through that passage. So go 43 and following. They were together. And it says, awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. They saw God at work. They saw him answering prayers. They saw him healing. They saw him relieving discomforts in people's lives. They saw him taking care of people. And it says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. When things were tough, they were there for each other. And they shared what they had. And then it says they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. If they go, if you need it, I'll give it up for you. If you are hurting, I'll be there for you. They formed a real community. And we go, what does that look like today? And then in verse 46, kind of what we're going to be focusing on today a little bit, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. So God was working through them as they had this community, and every day people were being saved, and every day the church grew, and every day they said, we see God at work. But it's the part that I really was fascinated with. It says they broke bread together in their homes. That's just another way of saying they ate together. They ate together. I like the way the Message puts it. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. They just went and ate together. Now, eating is one of my favorite things to do in the world. I talk about it. It's amazing. I don't weigh more than I do. But I just love to eat. I love this idea of food. And I think it's biblical. I think this is something we're called to do, to eat together, to share time together. That's what the first church did. And they learned it from Jesus. It's what Jesus did. It's how he reached people. It's how he built relationships all around food. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, talking about Jesus' strategy of meeting people and reaching them. It says in Luke chapter 15, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. They wanted to be near Jesus. People that no one else liked wanted to be liked by Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, and they said, this man receives sinners, and he eats with them. Now, in their culture, that was unheard of. If you ate with someone, if you invited them in their house, that was your way of saying, I approve of you, I accept you. I only eat with people that I like. I'm only going to eat with people that I approve of. And so when you ate with them, Jesus was saying about these people that most people would reject, he says, I accept you, I love you, I welcome you into my life. He did this quite often. Matthew had a group of friends that were what we would call sinners, people that just lived life and they didn't care. And Jesus said, I want to eat with them. And Matthew would have dinners with his friends and Jesus would be there. One time Jesus had a meal with a Pharisee, a guy had invited him to his house. And as Jesus was there, a woman came in. She began to fall at Jesus' feet and her tears were on his feet and she wiped his feet with her hair. And the Pharisee, the man in charge, the Jewish leader, was saying, if you really knew her, you wouldn't allow this to happen. And Jesus knew what was in the guy's heart. And he said to the man, look, you didn't welcome me at all. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't take care of me. But since I've been here, she hasn't stopped doing this. And basically said, this is why I'm here. It's for her. It's for her. See, eating together is a strategy that Jesus had, a way of changing the world, one person at a time. When Peter had sinned and had denied Jesus, remember this? He denied he knew him three different times. And then when Jesus reappeared, the first thing he did was have breakfast with Peter. He said, let's have breakfast. He had breakfast with him on the shore, and he restored Peter to him over a meal. And I love that about Jesus. Let's eat together, let's share life. I didn't really have a word for this. I didn't really have a strategy for this. It was just this idea, let's eat together, let's spend time together, let's rebuild. And we talked about this as a staff and as elders. How do we really do that in the coming year? And this spring, the Exponential Conference is happening. Exponential Conference is a conference for thousands of pastors to come together. And how do we do church better? How do we do church in a real way? How do we connect with people? And there was a church in California called Rock Harbor Church. I remember it from our time out there. I actually had students that attended this church. It was a church plant. It's grown. The main guy who founded it left. We did some other ministry, came back right as COVID was closing. And they go, how are we going to reconnect, say, facing the same stuff we faced? And they decided to do something that they called the Thousand Tables. Thousand Tables. And what they said was, let's get our people out sharing meals with people all over within the church, outside the church. Let's just get people together around tables, and let's try to do at least 1,000 of them, which I thought was huge. And what they did was they started having backyard meetings, just inviting your friends and neighbors. One lady had small children. She goes, what can I do? And she began to invite neighborhood moms in, and she had 14 moms, which had together 18 children, and they crowded into her house, and she served breakfast burritos, and she served them, and she built community. And if you can do it over breakfast burritos, you can do it over anything, right? And I love breakfast burritos. And then one guy was a businessman, and he had business leaders come to his restaurant or to his area, and they had a business meeting, and they weren't Christians, but they began to share a meal, and the men began to share, and the women began to share how disconnected they felt. And he felt, this is a table here, and he began to minister to them, and they began to cry, some of them, and talk about how disconnected we were, and he was able to share Christ. And so this table strategy has been huge for them. And it's so simple because it's cross-cultural, right? Everybody has to eat, right? Do you guys, how many like to eat? I'm in here. Okay. How many like when somebody else makes the food and you like to eat? Okay. That's one of the reasons we did today. We thought everybody likes to eat, right? You can find something to eat. We love to go to restaurants. We love to do things. And I love this idea of the table strategy. It's so simple. And then I looked at my own life and I realized this is what God's been doing to my life ever since I've been walking with Jesus. When I was in college and I was trying to find my way, I went to Chapel Hill, and those of you hate me now because I went to Chapel Hill, it's okay. I mean, you can love people that are different than you can love your enemy. It's all right. I went to Chapel Hill, and I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but it's not very Christ-like there. I don't know if it's changed since I've been there, but it's just not very Christ-like there. And I was trying to find my own way, and I got involved with a group called InterVarsity, and there was a guy named Richard Rhodes, and Richard Rhodes was a sponsor. And he saw me as a college freshman, and he said, let's start hanging out. I said, sure. And there's a place in Chapel Hill called the Carolina Inn, if you know what I'm talking about. It's been around, you know, before dirt was invented. It's been there forever. My dad went there. He went to the Carolina Inn. And it's this restaurant in the hotel. It may be closed by now, but they had white tablecloths. It was kind of a fancy place. We would go there. I'd get a Pepsi and a piece of cake because it was always in the slow times. And he had printed off the book of Philippians with no verses, no verse numbers. It was just the scripture. And then we would sit and go through the scripture, but that's not really impacted my life. I know it did deep down, but what impacted my life was spending time with a guy who loved Jesus, and he poured into me, and he listened to me, and he allowed me to share my stories. He told me his stories, and it changed my life, absolutely changed my life. When I went out to California, again, a place that's not known for being very Christ-like, right? And I went out there, and I got involved with a group, and we began going to Angel baseball games. And you could go to baseball games at the time for $10 and get food, okay? This was back in the time where it really was cheap, and Angels weren't any good. And so we'd sit in center field, and we would just talk about life. Wasn't a table involved, but there was food involved, okay? And then food just allowed us to open up. And then I met Stacy, and when I met Stacy, she was going to an established church. It was a big church, and then I kind of left my church to go with her, but this was her church. She grew up in the church. I became Stacy's boyfriend. That's how I was known. I didn't really have a name. That's just the guy that Stacy's with. And then we got married. I became Stacy's husband. I didn't have a name. I was Stacy's husband. And so I tried to find my way in the church. And what do I do? Like, she knows everybody. And everybody comes up, talks to her. And if you've ever been in that situation, you know, where you're standing there and they're all talking, they're all laughing about stories that you have no idea what it is. And you're smiling too. Yeah, I get it. I'm just standing here and nobody's talking to me. And I'm okay with myself, but it wasn't easy. But there was a guy there named Dave Holly, and Dave is older than I am, and Dave says, let's meet for breakfast. Let's meet for breakfast. For the next 10 years, he and I met for breakfast, and we studied the Word, we shared stories, and we prayed. And different guys would come, and they would go, or they'd move or whatever, but the two of us stayed in this group, and he changed my life. Because he allowed me to feel accepted. I felt like I could share anything with him. And I was able to do this over a table and just get to know someone and get to be known. It was really cool. Just a side story, he invited us to his wedding. If you know anything about Catalina Island, it's about, you know, so many miles off the coast. It's a beautiful place. He took us out there on a boat. He got married in the Wrigley Mansion. It was so cool we got to be there. And it's like, I wasn't Stacy's husband then. I was Patrick's. That was cool for me. But it was just a fun relationship. I have been at tables ever since. I should weigh 12,000 pounds, all right? And we have met at tables here at the church. We've met at what is now East Coast Wings. It used to be Four Corners. Anybody remember that? And we met over there for Bible studies. Mama Zoe's, I've eaten there for breakfast and had a great time there. Right now, I'm meeting at two different restaurants. I should get a plug for this, okay? I'm meeting Qdoba once a month in North Wilkesboro. There's three pastors that come together with me. We eat at Qdoba. We share stories. We pray for one another. And we encourage one another. They're my friends. They're my brothers. They're the ones that I can do life with. They're the ones that encourage me when I'm down. And we do it over a table. Every week I meet with a good friend of mine. We go to Panda Express. Again, I want money back. I want gift cards from these things, okay? But we meet at Panda Express across a table. And we share stories. And we share a meal. And we pray for one another. And it's that simple. And my life is different. And we looked at us as a church and go, how do we bring this to the church? How do we do that? If you have this, and if you don't, grab one on the way out. We have these things called the Pick 5 cards. I think we have it on our screen. We can put it up there. They're in the lobby. These little cards like this. And on the card is 24 different ways that you can apply what we're teaching this year, what we're trying to accomplish this year. And we're asking everybody to do it. And we've had many people actually have already completed at least 5. And if you look at those, you're going to start seeing things that deal with tables. One of them says, simply have coffee with a friend. I do not drink coffee. I hope you still love me, okay? I go to Chapel Hill and I don't love coffee, okay? So you may not like me for that. But I like Pepsi, so for mine, you can change that. People go, can you change it? Yes, it's not like letter of the law. The main thing is just go find a table with a friend and share a moment, share something to drink with them and get to know them. One of them says, have dinner with a friend and just show up, share stories, offer to pray, and get to know them. One of them says, invite someone from church to a meal. And one of the things we're doing today is I'm gonna preach a little bit shorter. We already have food. And then if you are brave, invite somebody to go to lunch today. Invite them over this week and have a meal with them and just get to know them a little bit deeper around the table. When you do the Pick 5, when you do 5, let us know. It's on our website. And then what we're going to do is give you a Chick-fil-A gift card. Two reasons. One, it is Jesus' chicken. We do know that, okay? Everybody knows that, right? Number two thing is we want you to invite someone to go with you and just meet around the table and share life and share stories and pray together. One of my friends is a pastor. He kind of turned this on the ear a little bit. He has a group of men that bring their kids to Chick-fil-A. I see women with their kids in Chick-fil-A. He takes men in. They bring their kids, and men are a little bit different than women, I think. The men sit at one table. The kids sit at other tables. And they just share a meal, and they share stories, and the kids run around the restaurant, I think, probably get in trouble. But anyway, they do that. And then on church on Sunday, you know how men are? They go, hey, I know you. Yeah, I knew you. And it's that kind of thing, but around the table, they can share who they really are. And so when you do all 25, actually it's 24 plus the last one, turn it in, we'll give you a bigger gift card to Chick-fil-A, and then you can take more people. And the whole idea is around the table, get to know people, share stories, share a meal, and pray for one another. It's so simple. It's so wonderful to do it. Now this summer, again, we're casting vision. That's what Fun Day is about, casting vision. This summer, we're going to do connect events. It's on the Pick 5 card. And what a connect event is simply that. It's going to be around the table. We're going to ask some of you to dream up some ideas. Maybe an idea like you're going to have a game night in your house over a table and invite people over just to play games and get to know one another. I've already got two planned. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to look at the schedule a little bit later. There's a new restaurant that opened up in town called East of Texas. Anybody heard of it? Again, I want a gift card. I'm plugging you guys. Okay, some of you guys have been. It's on the south side of town. I want to go. We tried to go a couple of Fridays ago. It was so crowded, you couldn't even park. And we're going to go on a Sunday night from 5 to 7. There's all this space outside with games and stuff. No, I'm not going to buy your meal. You're going to have to buy your own. We're going to be there. Come. We're going to share stories. We're going to pray, or at least I'll write down your prayer requests. And we're just going to spend time together. We're going to do that a couple of times, just time to come. Meet us at a restaurant. Some of you may want to do it in a park. Bring a meal. Find a table, picnic table, and share that time. There's a restaurant at Rinalda Village called Mayway. Has anybody been to Mayway? Again, I want credit for this. Okay, you guys know they're wonderful dumplings, right? Incredible dumplings there. Across the street is Dojo's. Donuts, so this is all really unhealthy stuff for you. But there are picnic tables. We're just going to be there from 5 to 7, and we're going to share a meal and share stories and pray. And then when I heal up, we're going to have a couple of times where we're going to take bike rides at a park around the lake. There's picnic tables. We're going to get back. We're going to meet around a table. We're going to share stories. We're going to share a meal, and we're going to pray. That's what connect events are. That's what we're doing in 2023, because we want to make connections. We want to see God at work. We want to see community built, and it's simply done around a table. Sharing a meal, sharing stories, praying for one another. As we talk about that, and we're going to come back to this throughout the year. Next week, we're back to John, for those that are missing that today. But we just wanted to say, this is what 2023 is about, and we're already seeing the fruit of it. We're already seeing new people. We're seeing lives changed. We're seeing incredible stories, but I just want you to dream for a minute. What if God wanted to use you to change someone's life? What if God wanted you to maybe have a meal in your house, and maybe you're a homeschool parent, and there's so many homeschool parents in the room, and there's so many homeschool parents in our community. What if you invited them over for a meal, and you just shared stories, and you shared a meal, and you prayed? What do you think God could do in that situation where someone who's maybe not sure what to do or a little insecure or going through a hard time at home, what kind of difference could that make in their life, just knowing someone's there and someone cares? Some of you in the room maybe are getting a vision for starting a Bible study at work. And there are people at work that are starting to pop a little bit. What I mean by they're starting to have spiritual questions. And you're going, I need to do something here. God's calling me to do something here. So you just say, hey, if you're interested in spiritual things, we're going to gather around the table here at the office. Bring your food. Go out and get something, or just bring your lunch. And we're going to sit down and we're going to share stories. Maybe share a verse or two. I'm going to pray for us. And we're just going to see what God does. Maybe God will use you to change a life forever, for all eternity, as you share the gospel. For some of you, it's this simple. There's someone that needs to be mentored, and you could do it. And you're having on your heart God leading to go meet with this person. And you say, hey, would you like to go have coffee? Would you like to have a meal? I just want to get to know you. Or maybe you want to be mentored, and we have people here that are willing to do that. And just let us know, and they'll meet with you in a public restaurant, and they'll just say, let's talk. Let's share stories. Let's share a meal. Let me pray for you. Maybe that would change your life. For some of you, it may be because there's somebody in your family that you're a little estranged from. And it may be just a neutral place. Let's just meet and have coffee. We won't bring up old things. We'll just see how life is going. And over a table, with something to drink, something to eat, you just reconnect. And maybe God will use that to change both of you. There's something about the table, isn't there? It just reduces stress. It reduces confrontation. It's sharing a meal together. It's being vulnerable and just saying, I want to spend time with you. That's what we're going to do this year. And we're already seeing some great things happen. So today is all about having fun. Please take the food with you as you go. You can hang out at the end and share some food or whatever. Maybe today's the day you go, hey, we're getting out a little bit early. Let's go to lunch together. I'm getting a plug for Culver's or something like that. Go there, right? Just tell them you were sent by Bridges. You want money off, okay? But just maybe today's the day you invite someone just to have lunch and go, let's just hang out. Let's share a meal. You share some stories. And let's pray for one another. And maybe God will use this. I don't know if it'll be 1,000 times. Who knows? What matters is it's one person at a time. One meal. Share some stories and pray. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the strategy that you came up with so long ago. Just food. We need to eat. Our bodies need food, but our spirits and our souls need emotional and food and friendship and companionship and community, and you feed us through your church in that way. I pray for a greater vision for us as a church to connect in so many different ways, Father, building strong, strong relationships, willing to give things away to each other, willing to be there to support, to encourage, to share, to pray. So, Father, take what we have and just multiply it over and over and over. And bless each person here today. May they find in you everything they need. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. At the end of the service, again, we're focusing on prayer. And if you have prayer needs, if a decision you want to make, there'll be a team down here ready to pray for you. Today, we're going to do communion a little bit different. We've done this from time to time. We'll probably do something like this at each fun day as they come. And really, communion is built around a table, right? In Luke chapter 22, verses 14 and following, this is what Jesus did. It says in that verse 14, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And this is a powerful thing for us to think about, because if you think about it, most Jewish families would have gathered with their families, their biological families. And they would have gone through the questions that they ask about the Passover. What happened? There's a whole set thing they go through. And the children would recite and the adults would gather and they would do things together. And then Jesus got together his friends, his spiritual family, not his birth family, but his spiritual family. And they gathered around a table for what would be the last of these times together. And he gathered them for a very specific reason. And he says in the next verse, he said, Jesus said, I have been eager to eat this Passover meal with you. I've been looking forward to you before my suffering begins. I wanted to do this before I go through this. I wanted to be together with my friends, sharing a meal together, sharing stories together. We're going to pray together. He said next, for I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This is our last time. And then it says he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. And he said, take this and share it among yourselves. And then he went on and says, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. And then he took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it into pieces and he gave it to them. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then after the meal, it says he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. He turned the whole thing upside down. He said, it used to be that we just were observing what God did, my father did when he freed the Israelites. But now we're observing a remembrance of Jesus. So this is our last time, he told them. From now on, when you do this, remember me. Today, what we're going to do is you're going to come forward and receive the elements. There's on three different tables, the bread and the juice. And I'm going to ask you this time just to return to your seat and don't eat or drink yet. We're going to do this together as a family around the table, okay? So as a community. And I'll walk you through from there steps that we're going to do and just going to share it together. So come on up now, receive the bread and the juice. And when everybody has it, I will begin the next part. Thank you. communion is a very individualistic thing in some ways. It's just between us and God, right? In other ways, it's communal. It's being together as one family in Christ. When Jesus had them all around, it says in the next verse that he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he said, take this and share it among yourselves. So let me pray, and then we're going to share the drink first. Father God, thank you for the blood of Christ shed for us, for the forgiveness of sins, to blot out everything we've ever done. And together as a church family, we come before you, sinners, every one of us. Every one of us in need of a Savior, and every one of us can find that in Jesus. And together we say thank you for what he did on the cross. When you're ready, let's drink together. And then once everyone had drank, he then took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it into pieces and gave it to disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's pray and then share that together. Father, again, we thank you for the body of Christ broken for us. And this bread is just a symbol of that, to remind us of what Jesus did and who he is. That he gave his life so that we could live, not just for ourselves, but together as community, together as one in Christ. Bless us with unity as a body, Father. Bless us with growth spiritually. And may more people come to know Jesus. May they see Christ in us. We pray this in his name as we are his body. Amen. Take and eat, each one of you. Let's close this time with prayer. Father, bring us together more and more, but also give us a heart for those that don't know you, that aren't part of your body yet, aren't part of your family. May we live out Christ in everything we do. May we live for him, and may he live through us. May he shine brightly through us, that we may be a light to the world. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Let's continue to worship together with one more song.